seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We can look into your word and you can be our teacher. Lord, we pray just the Spirit of God just move among us this morning. And Lord, just open our hearts to the truth, the power of truth, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let it be transforming, God, and let it open our eyes into what a privileged position we are in and the power that God's working through us. So we just give you thanks. I pray you'd anoint me and only speak things of the Spirit. God, I pray each heart is open to receive from you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. We're looking at the book of Luke. Book of Luke, and we'll start off with this. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The title of the message is, Today is the Day. Today is the Day. And I mean, concerning this message, but it's also concerning us too today. As we started out, to give a little context, because it's going to be important as we look at this, because this is a really powerful turning point. We're looking at the book of Luke, and the book of Luke is Luke doing an investigation about Jesus Christ. So Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul. He came to know the Lord then. And so Luke is a Gentile. He's non-Jewish. And so what he did, he saw these things happening, and he wanted to investigate. And that's how the book opens up. I investigated these things. And he's writing to another non-Jewish person, another Gentile. So he's telling him, I'm giving you a good, complete story about what happened. I've come to know Jesus, but I want you to know the information, how he came, what happened. So I won't know all the details. So he writes the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And so we have the history. And so what do we have? We have the picture where John the Baptist declares Jesus is coming and that miraculous birth there. Then we see the whole story about the Lord Jesus Christ, which we almost always all read about on Christmas, you know, during Christmas, that time where Jesus' birth and what happened with that. So we have that history, just the history of it. Then we see Jesus coming to be baptized when he's about 30 years old. We don't hear much about Jesus until he's about 30. And then we see he's baptized by John the Baptist. And then when Jesus is baptized, okay, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and settles upon Jesus. So tremendous activity happened here. The Holy Spirit comes on Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit comes on Jesus, then he goes forward and the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. And Jesus is tested by the devil. And Jesus goes through these tests of the devil, stands strong. And as he comes out of the wilderness, the scripture says this. Jesus comes from the wilderness full of the power of the Spirit. All right? So here's this dynamic that's happened. So this is the position we're in right now. And then Jesus goes and he teaches in this synagogue. Now that's where we are. So this is like his first, based on this, expression, a teaching in the Jewish synagogue after these events happen. So let's look at this. So we have the picture, have the context. So here Jesus showing up 30 years old. And you don't have all these. I'm going to start in verse 16. You can just follow along or listen as I go through them. So here's Jesus. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue. He went into the church, or the Jewish church. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. All right, Saturday, the normal worship day. And he stood up to read. Okay, so read some scripture. They came together, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Okay, so the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and I just want to make a note, this is the same Isaiah that we have in our Old Testament. All right, same book. And we'll share something with you just about this. He has given him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah to read. And so we have, if we look in our Bibles, we see the book of Isaiah. All right, now here's something that's important to me, is that we have the actual paper copies of Isaiah that go back to 100 BC. About 100 BC, we actually have, most of this stuff is copied over and over and over, you know, and so you have copies of different things, which is true in all of this because paper wears out. But they recopied this, and they were very, but they kept track of it. But we have actually found documents that date back 100 BC, before Christ, all right? And they're consistent with our Bible. Jesus read them. So what we read, Jesus read. All right, so what we have in the book of Isaiah, Jesus read the very same thing. So I just want to drive that home. Now, so this is what Jesus read. The book of Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll. Jesus unrolled the scroll, and he found a place where it is written. So now Jesus is reading this. This is where it's written. He goes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus stopped. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. Then he sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue and the crowd, they're looking at him. You know, kind of like me. I'm saying, "Look here, just finished, you know. Amen, we can go home." So they're looking at him. So he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, now listen to this. Then he said, "Today, this scripture," we have this verse, you can put it up on the screen. "Then he said to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Whoa. Now, whoa. Now, what if I read this scripture? Just read it, okay? I go through here, and I said, "And behold, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I said, "Come on, Wallace. Stop it." You know? That's what he did. This is what Jesus did. He reads this scripture that was written 800 years before this time. He reads this scripture. Now, by the way, a little history lesson here. The Jewish people believed that this scripture was foretelling of a future Messiah. They believed that. So they believed this for 800 years. They're just waiting, just reading the scripture. You know, other people read it. Now Jesus reads it, and he goes, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah that was prophesied. I am the Messiah that has come based on this scripture." Now I would imagine it caused a little turmoil within the meeting place, I would think. They didn't jump on and say, "Oh, wow, praise Jesus." They didn't do that because they didn't know how to handle that. But what we have here is Jesus proclaiming himself as Messiah, and also what he's doing, he is declaring the beginning of his ministry. Everything's changing. Everything this day is changing. Everything. All that they had up to this point, they've been trucking along doing the same thing, and Jesus comes in and says, "It's all different from now on because of me," and he begins his ministry. And what he does, he proclaims, if you will, God's invasion into this dark world to redeem mankind. He's starting it right now. He's moving into the world to redeem mankind. He's going to change everything. He is changing everything. This is the beginning of his ministry right here. Now, so here's a stunning statement. But when you read that, and this is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2. You can go read it. Translates perfectly, word for word. Proclaiming the Messiah, and now the Messiah says, "This is me. It's talking about me," and he moves forward, and from that moment on, it's continually fulfilling scripture, and he does, and then God anoints him to do mighty works and miracles that confirm everything he said. He turns everything upside down. Nothing is the same from this point on in the entire world. Now, I'm going to just a little side note here, okay? He ends this section of Scripture, what he reads, he ends it with this. The reason he came is to proclaim the year, the time of the Lord's favor. That's the reason Jesus came. He came to proclaim the Lord's favor. That's what we are to do, is to proclaim the Lord's favor. Now, so Jesus is stating what he is doing in the time of the church and the age of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to say the time of the church and the age of the Holy Spirit, because what he's doing, he's introducing this. He's introducing the church. He's introducing the age of the Holy Spirit. And what he's doing, he's saying this is a time for us, the church and the age of the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the Lord's favor. All right? Amen? Now, I just want to show you. When you look in the Old Testament, there's another clause after here. He didn't read it. He stops. He puts a period right there. Well, let's read. Just go back to Old Testament, and let's read what he didn't read. All right? We have an overhead. Isaiah 61:2. Okay, it goes like this. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? And he put a period. The Old Testament is not a period. It goes on and says this, and the day of the vengeance of our God. See, Jesus is going to do both of those. The Messiah is coming to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the vengeance of God. Well, what we have here, he didn't quote the last statement because he came to fulfill the first statement. Now, the last statement is for a future day. It's for a future day when Jesus comes back. Christians understand that Jesus will come back. There will be a return. They call it the second coming. All believers believe that. There's a second coming. At the second coming, it's not the first statement he fulfills. It's the second one. When he comes back the second time, what he does is that he does away with evil and he restores the entire earth. Okay, it's going to be, there's not anybody going to be questioning what's going on. He is going to turn things upside down. He's going to destroy all evil and reshape the entire earth. That's going to happen. The first one happened. Amen. I'm putting my money on it. The second one's going to happen, right? Amen. But right now, we're in the first clause. We are here. He's going to share the Lord's favor. The church in the age of the Holy Spirit is to share the Lord's favor, because we know that there is a second coming when judgment is coming. As sure as anything, judgment is coming. So that's just a little thing from Isaiah. We can see that from Isaiah. Now, so we know that future time is coming. But what about today? What about today? See, we're in the day of Christ and the Lord's favor. That's what today is. It's the day of Christ and the Lord's favor. And we might think like, well, gosh, I think everything's a mess. You know, there's bad stuff happening and all this world is just, you know, terrible things are going on. And Jesus says, yeah, there were terrible things going on when Jesus came. Terrible things. But what he did, he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. And you know what we are? We are the fruit of Jesus declaring the Lord's favor. We have come to know Christ, accept him, and we have eternal home because we have listened to Jesus declaring the Lord's favor in our life. And what we have is the same message. We declare the Lord's favor to people around us. In this evil that's going around, we have the message of hope. That's why we are here. People should look at us and look at the church as a people carrying hope. Now, I just asked you, how many people look at the church and say, this is a place carrying hope? You know, we should be. How many look at you as a believer and say, they carry hope? They carry hope. They carry eternal life, not condemnation. They carry hope and eternal life. And it's for all that would believe. And so we look at that and say, that's the day. And we're in that day until the second coming. Amen? So here we are. This is the current day. And so this is the day that God moves with power. What day, what other day would it be that God moves with power? Well, when Jesus comes back, then he moves with power. Yeah, that's true, but it's over with. It is done. It's a done deal. It's over with. It is today that he's moving with power. He moved with power when he was on this earth, and he did great things to confirm the word of God so people come to know Christ. Okay? God powerfully worked through him. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And then Jesus says, and you've heard me say this before, then he makes a statement. Oh, it's good. I'm going to go be with the Father, and it's good because you're going to do greater things than me. And we go, nah, I don't think that's right. But that's what he said. Well, how is he going to do that? Because he's going to work through people in his church, through the Holy Spirit, to continue to carry the Lord's favor. And we're going in this evil, dark world, speaking of God's love, God's salvation, and that people can have a home in heaven, that they'll never die, they'll spend eternity with God. We speak God's favor in this dark world. That's the church's job. Destroying evil and redoing the earth is Jesus' job in the second coming. And it's going to happen. And nobody's going to be questioning. All right? All the evil are going to go, oh, shoot. Oh, my goodness gracious. Mess that one up. I mean, they're not going to be a discussion. Now, right now, so I say that, so we want to be encouraged. What is our ministry now? To share God's love. To be able to speak with authority and know that God is going to work through us and on our behalf to confirm his word so people will come to know him. God is stirring at people's hearts right now. And we was here and we went to a conference yesterday, Greg and Sophie, Mike and Susan, and they gave testimonies, which are always great to hear testimonies. Almost to the person, the people that gave the testimony said, something was stirring in my heart. Something wasn't right. Something was stirring right. And then God led them to somebody who shared the gospel. What got me was God stirred in their heart first before they went to somebody sharing the gospel. God is stirring in people's hearts all over this world. And God says, I just need some people to share the word. I'm stirring in the heart. I need some people to speak that I love them. See, I got to womp it up for God and make this. God says, I'm doing this. I just need somebody to speak. I'm stirring in their hearts. And so that's what, think of your own relationship with Christ. You know, when I went through this guy and he just browbeat me and he gave me 10 books and he finally convinced me that Jesus is the Christ. I bet you then nobody came here. Came to Christ that way. It's like God stirred you in their hearts and then somebody shared the word and you accepted. Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a dynamic. God is moving in this earth. Amen? So this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is what we're in. This is the church. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. So this is the day. This is the day. Jesus' day was the day of his power. Today is the day of Jesus' power. He didn't quit. Again, what did he say? He said, you're going to do more. He said that. I didn't say that. You're going to do more. So we have to think about what is our position on this earth. God is doing something. He wants us to just join in and cooperate with him. And he's going to work powerfully. Powerfully. So this is the day of God's power. Now, what I want to do, if you're like me, I'm thinking, okay, God, how do I kind of get in a position for God to show his power? How do I do that? You know, like, go into a situation and say, come on, God, let's get him. You know, that probably wouldn't be too bad, but I mean, at least you're acknowledging he's there and you're moving into the situation. But God is saying, no, I am doing it. He says, you need to pay attention to me. You need to listen to me because I am doing the work. You need to be in step with what I'm doing. Amen? Well, the scripture shows us how to do that in various places, but the one I want to look at this morning that tells us what we should do, now this is what we should do to put ourselves in a position to receive from God that he can carry out his power in a situation. He's already working in other people. But how do we receive his power and know what to do and speak and see the power flow into another person? Amen. You want to look at the verse? Galatians 2:20. I did a little editing on Galatians 2:20. I put my edits are in parentheses, which means it's not inspired. All right. So let's look at this verse. And again, the important thing is we are putting ourselves in a position to see the miraculous work of God. So let's pay attention to that, that God's telling us how to do that. And again, the work has to come from God. We're just putting our place in a position to receive. All right, so it has to come from God. So here we have the first part of Galatians 2:20. Says, now this is Paul talking, but he's talking, and by the way, the Apostle Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, and the power of God worked powerfully through him. God did miracles through him. It's amazing what God did through the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is just a guy like us. He's just like us, and he says so. So what he is saying, we can apply to ourselves. So Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, what is that? Number one. I've been crucified with Christ. What are you saying? Christ was crucified. Dead. He's dead. All right? And I always look, you think about this, and a visual, if you're just dead, you walk off and you kick him. He's dead. He doesn't take a swing at you. He's dead. You're ugly. He didn't say anything. He's dead. See, there's nothing. He's crucified. There's nothing impacting him. See? So this is what this word's saying. And everybody understood what crucifixion was. Okay? They fully understood what that was. So I've been crucified with Christ. What he is saying, I don't have a human agenda or power. I don't have my own human agenda or power. See? Well, you can't do that. You don't have enough ability. There's nothing you can do. That's right. As I don't have that power of myself. I only have the power what God gives me. So do you see what I'm saying here? This is what Paul says. So he's putting himself in a position for God to use him. So he says, I've been crucified with Christ. There's no human agenda or power. He's doing what the Lord wants him to do. That's his focus. Amen? Okay, look at the second one. And process through this. He says this. Now this is one verse, but this is the second part of this verse. It is no longer I who live. Okay? I mean, what is that? It is no longer I who live. And what he's saying, I do not live by my human motives or power. It's no longer I who live, my selfish ambitions. I no longer live by my human motives or power. I no longer live. But Christ who lives in me. Okay, I no longer live human agenda or power, but it's Christ who lives in me. Christ is in me and he lives in me. And that is saying Christ is the one who gives me power through the Holy Spirit. You all with me? That is, now this is Paul talking with it. Man, look what Paul did. Paul was doing miracles. I mean, Paul, you know what Paul did one time? I mean, this is kind of, I saw a guy on television try it. I didn't believe a minute of it. All right? Paul, they'd bring him handkerchiefs, and he'd pray over them, and he'd take the handkerchiefs, and people get healed. It's like, all right, what he did, it's not me. God says, just pray over these handkerchiefs, and take, because I saw a guy on television do that. I didn't, he won $5 for his handkerchief, though. I didn't want me to send him $5 to get one of his handkerchiefs. Just something didn't sound right to me, so I didn't do it. All right? So you got a lot of charlatans. But what you have here is Paul was working in a supernatural way, and you saw him raise the dead. You saw the great healings, prophetic words and stuff. But here, this is what he said. I do not live by my human motives. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus is the one living in me, telling me what to do, and I'm working in his power. He's listening. He's paying attention. He's reading his scripture. His focus is on the Lord. Now, when I'm just run this into the ground. When you accept Christ, when we accept Christ, we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we are forgiven. Amen? And then what happens? Who comes to live within us? Holy Spirit or Jesus. Everybody believe that? You believe Jesus? But the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Yeah, that's cool. But he comes to live within you. But Paul says, yeah, but the Holy Spirit that comes within, live within me, God himself starts changing me, starts speaking to me, starts directing me. All of a sudden the scriptures start becoming alive and God speaks to us. All of a sudden power starts working within us. Changes take place. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He engages with the Holy Spirit, Christ in him. He changes. Amen? Is that what he's saying? Now, I say, well, I don't see any miracles. Well, this is the step. Because if Jesus shows up, miracles happen. Amen? Where is Jesus living in believers right now? Inside us, right? So when you show up, who shows up? Jesus. See, we just don't know it. Okay, we show up, Jesus shows up. He's, I'm showing up. Oh, Jesus, come, because I'm here. I'm here. You know, I'm showing up. See, listen and start moving in the authority and power I've given you, because I'm stirring you, and I'm going to be specific, and I'm going to show you what to do. Amen? So this is Paul's telling us here. Paul's telling us here. So it's no longer him that lives. He's just saying, I have given my personal ambitions and motives to God, and I'm directed by him. Then God goes, I can use this guy. I can use this gal. Because they're listening. It's not because they're more powerful. It's just because they're listening. If the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, who has the best Holy Spirit? Huh? My Holy Spirit's better than your Holy Spirit. You know? No. We got the same Holy Spirit, right? So what he's saying, we have the same potential, all of us the same. I don't care about our personal physical makeup because the Holy Spirit makes us supernatural. All of us the same. Potential and power giving us different gifts. All right. We together. This verse isn't over yet. Before I go to the third part of this, I was in a Sunday school class and they was having kids like second grade memorize this verse. I go, don't have them memorize that verse. I don't understand that verse. Don't have them memorize. There's no way they can understand this verse. See? But it's easy to, this is stunning what this verse says. This is stunning. Okay, here's the third part of this verse. And the life I now live in the flesh, see? And the life I now live in the flesh, grab your little cheek. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's all focused on Jesus. Like communion this morning, it's all focused on Jesus. And so he's saying this thing. Now the life I live by faith. Now here's something important. What faith? What's faith? Now see, I don't know if y'all think like I do. You probably don't, which is probably a good thing. It's probably really good. Okay? Because I look at, well, faith, what is that? Faith. Okay, I want that to happen. So I just really try. I really believe. You grunt your teeth, you know, and you try. You know, or, you know, fast for 40 days. Okay, I'm going to want that. I'm going to fast for 40 days. You know, I like that little offering box. You know, it's like, I'm just going to believe it's going to levitate. You didn't do anything. Okay, fast 40 days, and it'll levitate. See, and so it's what's faith? Well, here, because there's a confusion of what faith is. But the Bible tells us what faith is. I love this. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. And here's what he said. I just love this. It says, God called Abraham. Okay, so he's a man of faith. God called him. He heard God. Amen? God called him. And then it says, he went. Right here. He heard and he did what he said. He went. He's a man of faith. So what you got to do is hear something and you do what he says. So Paul says, I don't live by my own motives. I only live what Christ tells me. And so the life I live by faith. I hear God and I do what he says. That's it. So there's a tying in of what how to be supernatural. That's how you're being supernatural, to have faith. And what is faith? It's like, if God wants that, and I'm being facetious to make a point, if God wanted that offering box to levitate, he'd say, Wallace, say the word, and that thing's going up. I said, okay. But he don't have to tell me to say it's going up. Before I say it's going up, and then he will do it because I did what he told me. Because he's going to motivate the direction I should go. You see what I'm saying here? And I doubt very seriously he's going to do that to that offering box. You know, it's like, you know, that's about stupid, all right? But what he will do, he will start telling you and giving you direction in one's life and speak to you. As you step into it, he'll speak to you and you'll see things change. You'll see things happen. Amen? There it is. Galatians 2:20. The whole thing for the Christian life is right there. And it's all wrapped around Jesus and Jesus speaking and the work of the Holy Spirit. You notice that we're not a lot in that page. We're not a lot in that page. I was reading this morning, tied in, I guess it was divine. It was, see if I remember, 2 Corinthians 4 something. And said we go through these struggles so that we will show our power is of God and not of us. God goes through a lot of prayer, just showing the power is not of us. So we go through things so we know it's not of God. It's of God and not of us. See? So we see this, it's not of us, but it's of God. But the focus is to believe God and step out what God does. Now that's a challenge sometimes, right? You go, oh Lord. And then there's a growing process in that. But so here's that's tied up. Why am I sharing this? Because through Jesus, today, God will move with power in your life. It's not like, okay, the kind of a group think tank or something. No, it's you. It's your life. I have the Holy Spirit in me because I trusted Christ. Ask you, have you trusted Christ? Then you have the Holy Spirit in you. Every bit as much as I do. That means the Lord's challenging me. Wallace, you need to listen to me and I can do things through you. But he's telling you, I can do things through you. The key is you listening, me listening, and then stepping out what he says. But there has to be, no, it's not my motives. It's not me. My love is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, now, so if that's true, what we have to do is consistently call upon the Lord. And we have to be in dependence on Christ. That's all through the scripture. We're dependent on Christ. We walk into any situation. I don't care if it's work, home, driving to work. I don't think you walk and you think in dependence of Christ. That's your mindset. We're dependent and communing with him all the time because we're in touch, engaged. That's what he said. And we do that because we love him. You know, we love him. See, so we're engaged with him. Now, I want to kind of continue to highlight, drive this point home for all of us, how this works. Because the Bible talks about God's kingdom coming. Kingdom. And Jesus says, the kingdom is at hand. Okay, I'm thinking, Jesus, it's been 2,000 years since you said that. It's at hand. It's going to happen right now. It's happening right now. Jesus, 2,000 years. I mean, that's, you said at hand. It means immediate. Well, the thing of it is, we don't, see, the kingdom, physical kingdom and the destruction of this world is the second portion of Isaiah 61 verse 2. Okay, that's the one he didn't read. When Jesus comes back, he gets rid of evil, changes the earth, and the physical kingdom's here. But he said there's a spiritual kingdom that's here right now. And it's working right now. And so he says, this is where you walk in spiritual power and know I'm working through you, and you listen and you move as I tell you. So there's a spiritual power now that's not, it's in this lost, not so spiritual world. That makes sense? I'm glad nobody said, nah, didn't make a bit of sense, Wallace. But anyway, you all nodded. I appreciate that. But here's what we have. He gives us a view here of how Jesus operated in the kingdom, and we can take this and we can see how we operate in the kingdom and how we see the kingdom working. A principle, okay? And I just love this verse. There's a couple of them in Luke I could have turned to. But here's how Jesus describes the kingdom now, in today. The kingdom now, today, all right? Look at Matthew 12:28. Now, this is the kingdom. Now, follow this. Jesus says, but if it is by the Spirit of God, now Jesus is talking, but if it is by the Spirit of God, I cast out demons. I mean, Jesus did that. He said, if by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, let me just put it this way. You're walking up, and there's a situation, and there's a demon possessed. And there's, like that you see in the Bible, there's a demon possession thing. And Jesus says, rebuke you, leave. Rebuke you, leave. And he leaves. Jesus said, when I did that, the kingdom of God came. So I cast out a demon by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Leave. He leaves. And he goes, the kingdom of God is upon you. Why is the kingdom here now? Because God told me to do something, and I did something, and it happened, and therefore the kingdom. The kingdom is where I show up and do what God says. So when Jesus showed up and did what God says, he's like, wow, that's the kingdom. Now, we don't have a problem with Jesus showing up. And so, wow, that's the kingdom. But what he's telling us is, no, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, I'm going to go back in. Just drive this home, and I know it's redundant a little bit, but you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen? And what happens? Holy Spirit dwells in you. And then you move. So the Holy Spirit is in you. So there, wherever you are, Jesus is. And so you're in a situation, and Jesus says, this is what I want you to say. It comes to mind. How many of you went something, and the mind just comes, say this? You go, no. So it brings it to mind. The Lord's bringing it to mind. The Lord's showing us to do something, and we do it, and we say it. Jesus says, the kingdom came. The kingdom came. Because we did what he told us to do. The kingdom came. Now, if it's cast out a demon, wow, kingdom came. You know? But if it's to say something and share something with someone, we do it what the Lord told. Kingdom came. See, he's telling us how the kingdom shows up. The kingdom shows up through believers and shows up through the church. And we're sharing the year of the Lord's favor. That's what we're doing. It's the year of the Lord's favor. He's showing that here in Matthew 12:28. The work of God through Jesus was evidence of the presence of the kingdom. The work of God through us is evidence of the kingdom. Now, and I've heard people tell me this, drives me nuts. Well, I'm just going to go, I hate to say it, but I actually heard somebody say this. I'm just going to go out and walk downtown and cast out demons. First of all, I just figured the guy's just nuts. All right? But that's what I thought. But what you do when you're doing so, I'm going to go out and do it. The Apostle Paul says, it's not I, but Christ in me. Now, if Christ tells you, Wallace, go down and walk through the mall and cast out demons, I'm just going, oh, God. All right. Now, I'm just telling you, my personality, Jesus would have to tell me to do that. I mean, it's like, oh. But the point of it is, it's not the point of not casting out demons. The point of it is God doing what he tells you. And through the Holy Spirit, he'll speak to you. And then all of a sudden, you're speaking with power and authority, and God's going to use you supernaturally in your situation, for your situation, specifically made for your situation. I doubt if it's going to be walk through the mall and cast out demons. Does that make sense? That make sense? So we look at that principle. So look at that principle. When God was working, the kingdom was there. And that's the reason Jesus said, the kingdom's at hand. The kingdom is at hand. You show up and the kingdom's at hand. How the kingdom is at hand is you showing up. So anyway, so this comes back to a verse we talked about last week. And this verse keeps coming back to me. And I'm almost ready to proclaim it is Broadlands Community Church's verse. Because it just keeps coming back. We need to take note of this principle of the kingdom living. Today is a day for God to move with power. Today, just like with Jesus. And we are called to receive from God and give what we have. Amen? Called to receive from God and give what we have. Look at this. The first church, Acts 3:6. Peter and John, they had this down. This guy asked for money. Peter said to him, I have no silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. And he had power. And that's what he gave him. In this case, well, he said, get up and walk. See, but God says what God showed you. But the principle is here. What? Say, give me money. Well, I don't have any money. Well, money wouldn't. How many? I know we're all here. If I had some money, it'd solve every problem I have. You know, you think, will it? No, I gave you 6 months, you'd be back the same place you are. I just say that from experience, not with yours, mine. All right, but you know, it's like, oh, I went in the laundry and everything will be great. No, those people that go back 5 years are just in a mess. Money doesn't solve anything like that, see? And so, when somebody said, well, you need money, I don't have any money. But what I have, I give you. Every person in this building that has accepted Christ as their Savior can make that statement. Well, I don't have that, but what I have, I give you. And you can empower them in their life to change their life. But we got to know, the problem is it's not the other people. Probably it's we got to know who we are. That's the thing. We have to know who we are. Now, let me wrap this up. How do we appropriate this power? How do we appropriate this power? And this is what the Bible says, and I'll just run quickly through. Set our minds on it. We believe, we set our mind, we have a focus, a vision. It says, we ask. So two things, set our mind and we ask. And then the other is we believe what God said. We believe what God said. That's faith. So this is our challenge, to be totally dependent on Christ. All right? Our challenge is to hear God and do what he says, and that's faith. So, I want to read this verse again, Galatians 2:20. We'll put it up there. Galatians 2:20. I hope you look at it totally different. Totally different. Because here, this is it. This is it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. Love me. And we love him back. And we listen and we move out. And it's like our motivation in life is Jesus. Is Jesus. So, we need to be encouraged. Step out. Be encouraged by who. God is trying to tell you who you are. See, oh, I can't do nothing. Probably, but with Jesus, you can do everything. See what I'm saying? I mean, if you say, I can't do this, that's like really a great step to be, and God will have to do it. Because you already convinced yourself you don't, but that puts you in a wonderful place. Well, God can do it through me because he's God. He's God, and he lives within us. We accepted him. So, hallelujah, who you are. Well, how do you get in this place to receive faith? Well, right here, I got a great verse for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are in an exalted position. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:20, God made him who knew no sin to be sin. Okay, I'm going to ask you, who knew no sin? Jesus. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. He was our sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. We're qualified. We're qualified. You step up in any terrible situation, but I haven't been good, I haven't read my Bible, I haven't done nothing. Jesus paid for all that. We brought the kingdom when we stepped up and we hear and we speak with authority and power because of Christ in us. Amen? That's what he's telling us. And we grow in that. We grow in it. We read the Bible. We grow in that. We are in an unbelievable position. When something comes up impossible, I mean, this only really, you can really see this when something impossible comes up. Because if it's not impossible, we think, I can figure this out, you know. And God will be tickled to death with me because I can figure this out. But when it comes up, it's like, oh my God, there's no way to get out of this. And God goes, finally, he can't do nothing. Couldn't do nothing before, but now I've convinced him he can't do nothing. I can't get out of this. And then it's, okay, ask me. And it's, Lord, you got to move. And then he moves and we go, whoa. See, the issue is us to trust him and walk in faith, constant faith. Not our own motivation, but Christ's motivation. And we set our minds, and we start asking in every situation. And I'm not there yet, but we ought to be in a place where we come into an impossible situation. We thought, oh, this is going to be fun. Because God's got to work here. Because I'm done if he doesn't. You see what I'm saying? That is a Christian life. Amen? I'm sure Adam's got a good praise song to end this with. Lord's going to bless him and give his voice through it. Won't we stand and just praise God? Dear God, we just thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care more for us than we could ever imagine. We're not alone. We're not alone. And Lord, there's no sense. We shouldn't carry around guilt. We shouldn't carry around shame. We shouldn't carry around any of those things because you love us so much unconditionally. Anything held against us is on the cross. We believe in you and we are forgiven. And you're going to work through us wherever we are to do supernatural things because we love you. More I should put it like this, because you love us and we just love you back. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.